Are you ready to talk Padres spring training baseball?
We've got you covered.
Today's our second spring training show, and after seeing what he's seen so far out here in Peoria, our host Mike Janella is optimistic.
Chock full of potential best case scenarios that I think if the dominoes all fall the right way, this is a team that could really surprise.
Alongside Mike, it's Bill Center, who's also excited for the season, but mostly because of the free food he'll be able to take advantage of in the press box.
Not only the brats, but they have like the Polish sausage, kielbasa. I'm a sausage fiend.
Now, from the Peoria Sports Complex in Arizona, here's your hosts, Mike Janella and Bill Center.
Alongside Bill, the sausage fiend center, I'm Mike, rose-colored glasses, Janella. Welcome to Padres Social Hour. Bill, let's get right to the hard-hitting topics. If you could only have one sausage to eat for the rest of your life, it would be?
Bauernwurst.
Which, explain to me what that is.
It's halfway between a knockwurst and a Polish sausage. And that's, so it's a very German sausage.
Okay. Very mainstream Italian sausage guy. Right. I like that little sweet touch. So okay. That's my choice.
Well, I sort of go more Bauernwurst, kielbasa, knockwurst, Polish sausage, Italian sausage, and then
the Bill Center sausage power rankings. Right. All right, Bill, welcome to spring training.
Good to be here.
You and I, we talked a little bit over the offseason. This is our first show together, though, so right. I'm happy to be here with you. This is exciting.
Actually, we've done a couple shows
that may never see the light of day.
Right.
Some auditions. This is the first one where they actually hit the record button.
Right.
Let's talk some Padres baseball now, Bill. You've been here enough to see the team already, both in some game action and in some drill action. What do you like? What have you seen? We'll get into more detail later, but quick 10-second take on the team so far.
Well, I think the most important thing in spring training is I like the vibe that they've got this spring training. They've got a lot of work in. Guys are tired when they finish the day. And I like the leadership that I've seen from Andy Green. I think he's one of those guys that's a charismatic, natural leader, and I think that's going to be important moving forward. I've seen the projections of how many games the Padres are going to win, and I like their pitching staff more than based off of what they did 2 years ago, more than last year. And I think they're going to score some runs, and their defense is going to be improved. I think they're going to be better than people expect them to be.
And in
tough division.
Very no one's division. Debating that.
Right.
You have a one-word answer for what you can take away from early spring training games, because Cactus League season has started now. Like that 7-0 opening day loss against the Mariners, that one word is?
Meaningless. Yeah, totally meaningless.
Yeah. So it's something that we'll build into, but don't take too much stock early.
The only games, about 2 weeks to go in spring training, is when you want to start winning and building a little momentum towards the season. But right now, I could care less what the score is.
We've got a jam-packed show today. We're going to talk about some games. We're going to talk about some specific players. We've got a couple of those players coming up. Manny Margot later in the show. We've got Randy Jones is stopping by, so make sure to stay tuned for that whenever you get
one of my favorites.
Bill and Randy together. That's always a good time. Also, Alan Zinter, the new hitting coach, is going to swing by, talk to us about what he's working on with the players. They all seem to love him so far. But coming up next, Will Myers, and we'll talk about him with Randy a little more later, but your quick take on Myers, he's going to be a big X factor this year.
I think he's going to have a big year. I'm counting on Will Myers. I think first base is the perfect position for him, and I think that playing at first, it's going to ease his mind somewhat on what he's got to do on offense. I look forward to Will Myers having a big year.
And we're going to talk to him about that, too. And he's going to put some rumors to bed for good.
Good.
About that health and about where he is coming in, the risk coming in. So make sure to listen to that. We also have Bloopers Beard. We're going to talk about that throughout the show. Our esteemed producer, Seth Foster.
We got to get a picture of the three chipmunks and put Blooper right next to it.
Alvin, Seth, and Theodore.
Right, and see if you can pick Seth out from the other chipmunks.
Yeah, Seth, after 5 years of being bearded, he's decided to shave it off this spring training, so we put it up to a Twitter poll all week long.
He's got those little cheeks now. Yeah,
whether people like him bearded or clean shaven. We're going to talk to Randy about that when he comes in. You're going to give your opinion as well, and we'll reveal the results of the Twitter poll later in the show. But coming up next is Will Myers, so make sure to stay tuned for that. Fans, Padres single game tickets are on sale. Opening day is a month away. Get your tickets to the season's most anticipated matchups. Plus, check out the full 2016 promotional and theme game schedule, including, Bill, my favorite, Portuguese Heritage Night.
I'm all for Portuguese Heritage
Night.
Very important part of San Diego.
I'm 100% Portuguese. I hold two passports. Kind of a big deal. So I'll
They're
be there that
love
night.
You in Point Loma.
Oh, I'm excited to do that. Get your tickets now and all that information at Padres.com/promotions. Will Myers next on Padres Social Hour.
We're back to Padres Social Hour, broadcasting from the Peoria Sports Complex at San Diego Padres Spring Training.
We're back on Padres Social Hour. Joining me now, first baseman Will Myers. Will, I'm going to jump right in, ask you the question everyone's been waiting to hear from you on. What happened to the Panthers in the Super Bowl, dude?
Well, you know what? I'm not a diehard Panthers fan by any means. I'm definitely a fair weather fan, so I'll be the first to admit that. But you know, I pulled for them hard this year, obviously. But you know, it's just a tough game. Happens, you know, defensive game, whatever. So
It's a good year for the state of Carolina. Panthers, Steph Curry, the Heels might make the Final Four. I think that's good news for you, maybe.
Yeah, big Carolina fan. You know, I'm hoping they can make a run this year. You know, they're very inconsistent, though. You know, it's tough. It's tough to be a fan, but, you know, you just got to pull for them regardless.
Well, they beat my Syracuse Orange twice this
year,
so we'll put that aside.
Yeah. They didn't beat Duke, so that kind of hurt.
All right, let's talk some baseball now.
Okay.
The real thing people are wondering about, the wrist. We've talked to you about it earlier in the spring. You say it feels good. Where is it at?
Yeah, it feels great. It's 100%. It's a normal wrist. You know, everybody keeps asking me about it, but it's just it's healthy, and that's all that matters.
Right, so put the wrist to bed. We're done talking about it.
The wrist is gone.
So that's what we know. We know the wrist is good.
Wrist is good.
We know you're getting a full season at first base.
Full season.
We know that it's your favorite position to play, you've said.
Mm-hmm.
So what we don't know is what your ceiling is, getting a full season at first base. What is your ceiling? How high can you go with all those things working in your favor?
Well, you know, I grew up playing the infield, so, you know, infield is home to me. But, you know, I'm very excited about first base. It's my favorite position I've played in professional baseball so far. And, you know, I'm looking forward to, you know, getting better over there. And I actually, you know, really enjoy working at it. I enjoy getting better at it. And you know, that's huge just to, you know, just to really enjoy a position that much. So, you know, as far as a ceiling, I don't know. I know I'm pretty good right now. I'm athletic enough to play over there. I got good hands. So, you know, who knows what the ceiling is.
I think that's kind of the exciting part of the season,
sure,
too.
Yeah.
Because how much does that affect you, right? The focus hitting from the comfortability you have on defense, right? It's
kind of
directly correlated.
Yeah, it'd be great, you know, just to finally have the same position. I know every day, I'm playing first base, and that's it. You know, I think, you know, that definitely helps as far as, you know, hitting's concerned. You know, I don't think it helps me hit, but I think it, you know, puts me in the right mindset. Like, hey, I'm going to be playing first base today, and I'm hitting here, and I know exactly what I'm doing every day. So I think that'll help.
How's it going defensively so far? You had a taste last year. You're working at it this year, but
sure.
You feel comfortable? What's your confidence level there?
It feels good. You know, I mean, obviously this is the first time I've really worked on bunt plays and cutoffs and, you know, things like that. But as far as that's concerned, I've actually picked it up pretty quickly. So, you know, I'm starting to feel very comfortable and looking forward to getting in games tomorrow.
How well can you do a split when you got to really stretch for one?
Yeah, I can definitely do some stretching. You know, luckily I got long arms, so that'll definitely help. But I don't know if I'll do any splits.
People may ask, but I mean, you had some good defensive first basemen blocking you in the past. James Loney in Tampa, for one example. They might ask, if you love this position so much, why didn't you try it earlier?
Well, you know, I never had the opportunity. I went just straight from catcher to outfield and stuck there. That position was always open for me in the minor leagues and also in the big leagues. So, you know, just stuck with that. But, you know, I finally got an opportunity here, and I'm very excited about it.
Let's talk at the dish. This wrist, I mean, they're important to every hitter.
Sure.
But specifically, what were you dealing with last year that kind of took you away from what you wanted to do?
Yeah, you know, I was dealing with the bone spur that was in my wrist. I dealt with that in 14 and 15. 14, I played through it and just was not very good. I just, you know, didn't have it. Last year, I was able, you know, I played the first 40 games at 100% and played very well. And once I got hurt, you know, it's tough to play with something like that. But, you know, even when I came back, I just, you know, didn't, after surgery, just didn't have it. My wrist was weak, my timing was off, you know, it was just a tough situation. But, you know, I think with a healthy year this year, you know, the first 40 games last year is a good good look at what I can do on the field.
What are they teaching you now? Because Alan Zinter's in, new hitting coach, and he seems to be a pretty popular guy.
Yeah,
among
he's great. You know, I've been very impressed with him. He's definitely got a clue about, you know, the awareness of hitting, and that's very important. And you know, I like him so far. We haven't really got too much in depth about hitting. You know, I'm sure that'll come as the season progresses. But right now, you know, everything's going well. I like him, and looking forward to learning from him.
A lot of intangible talk in camp this spring. Andy Green keeps talking about leadership and culture. For you, I think a cool intangible thing is the second year effect. This is your second spring training here. Mm-hmm. You feel more comfortable? You feel any different from last year?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I mean, I don't have to learn everybody's name this year. I don't have to learn training staff, strength coaches, players. You know, I know mostly everybody. And that's important. You know, that definitely helps with, you know, coming to the ballpark every day and knowing everybody's name. But, yeah, you know, it's definitely more comfortable. You know, Andy's done a good job so far with making everybody seem more comfortable. So, you know, just I think everybody's just excited to get going with games.
You're individually in a unique spot, I think, because you've got the guys like Kemp, Shields, Jay, kind of been around the block a lot.
Sure.
Then you have the new guys coming up trying to make it through camp. You're kind of in the middle. You've done it, but not too much. How do you think you fit in the clubhouse?
Right in the middle, I guess. I don't know. You know, all the guys, you know, the older guys we have are great. You know, I think they're going to do a great job of leading this team this year. And, you know, our young guys have a ton of energy, and that's what you need in younger players. And, you know, I think it's going to be a great mix this year. And I think we have a team that's going to really surprise a lot of teams. And, you know, I think everybody's looking forward to that.
I think what a lot of people forget about you is how young you still are. It's kind of the life of the prospect. You get hyped.
Yeah,
at the beginning, one slump or one injury, people forget about you. Is that tough? Because you're only 25. You got
many
years to go.
Yeah, I got plenty of time left. You know, it's one of those things. It is frustrating. It's not necessarily frustrating about what you hear from other people. It's more so, you know, I played this game ever since I was 5 years old. In the last 2 years, you know, it's been kind of taken away from me, and that's tough. And you know, every year that I've played in professional baseball, I've had a great year, except for the years I've been hurt. So I do know that whenever I can stay completely healthy and get 600 at bats, I'm going to have a great year. And you know, I know that I think 2016 is that year.
What's your downtime like here in Peoria? Spring training, people see the baseball stuff, but that's only part of the day.
Yeah, I mean, rest. I mean, you know, we're here working out every day. We, you know, we put in long hours. We get up really early, so you know, guys are going to bed early. You know, I mean, I remember two nights ago I was in bed at 8 o'clock, you know, because I was tired, had to get up early. But you know, as far as spring training concerned, I know a lot of guys play some golf. You know, I haven't done that with my wrist. I want to be careful with that. But you know, when I am healthy, I do like to play some golf out here in Arizona. But other than that, man, just, you know, use your downtime to your advantage, and you know, just take it easy.
We got to get your take on the definitive story of the offseason, the Chipotle scandal. What, you're a big fan, what's your brand loyalty like right now?
The same. I don't care. I mean, they didn't make it to the East Coast. So I'm not worried about it.
I'm with you on that. Everyone freaks out. It's just a couple cases here and there. It's fine. All right, Will, man. Thank you very much. Looking forward to seeing what you can do this spring now that you're healthy. Appreciate you stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
So, Will Myers not worried about the Chipotle scandal, and I think rightfully so. But he is worried about, not worried, but looking forward to getting this season underway because he's finally healthy, like he said, 100% the wrist, he said, a non-starter. He shied away from what his ceiling could be. Numbers wise, Bill, how much production do you think he can give the Padres healthy?
Well, a healthy Will Myers last year at the start of the season was the Padres' most productive hitter, led the team in runs scored, was close in RBIs. I think Will Myers could have a really breakout season if he stays healthy, and I expect he will.
He thinks so too. We're going to find out what you think a little bit more about Will when Randy Jones comes on next. And anytime Randy and Bill get together, you know it's a good time. So stay tuned for that. But first, folks, Major League Baseball All-Star Week is coming to San Diego this July 8th through the 12th. Register now for the chance to purchase tickets at allstargame.com. Registration ends April 20th. Bill, Randy, and me after this on Padres Social Hour.
Your San Diego Padres are in Arizona at the Peoria Sports Complex for spring training.
And so are we.
This is Padres Social Hour.
We're back on Padres Social Hour, and heaven help me, they've added Randy Jones to the mix with Bill Center.
Right.
In the Lions,
we're teaming up on you.
Right,
we're those
it's
guys.
About time.
We're in the guys in the balcony on the Muppets.
I don't know who that makes me, but we'll have to discuss that later. How's it going, Randy? You're joining us now. Looking good in uniform.
Well,
Bill, how do you think he looks?
Hey, it's been a great spring. I know that
uniforms always look good on Randy. It's when he's in regular clothes that it's not so good.
Yeah, well, I do kind of miss my cowboy boots.
Right, the boots.
You'll get used to them.
You're looking good. You're here, Randy, embedded in camp. You're in uniform, not because of how good you look in it only, but because you're working with the players and the team. What are you seeing so far working with the guys?
Well, you know, it is early, but, you know, what I really like and I'm encouraged by is just the new air around here with the new manager, with Andy Green and all the coaches, their commitment to the Padres and to these players. And that's the signal that I'm getting. And I really think the players are buying into it. I like what I'm seeing so far. And attention to detail. I mean, even right now, they just start good habits, you know, clean fielding. Let's do it right. Let's mentally, you know, stay alert. And I think Andy Green, the whole staff, is doing a really great job of relaying this to the players that, hey, it's time right now. You got to kick it in. Let's get it ready.
To me, I like this camp, and I really there's a command presence to Andy Green that I think has carried through to the players, and it's a question of leadership right now. I mean, as a manager, your bottom line is wins and losses. But I have seen there's a big difference in this camp to other camps. I mean, we got a basketball hoop over here this year that's not even been used because the guys are tired when they come off the field. It is really a very active, hardworking camp.
Not even Randy's out there working on his crossover.
No. And I think, you know, Bill, you're absolutely right. And it started with the first meeting, talking to the players and about being consistent and having expectations of a player. Be the best you can be, and that's what these coaches are here for, to make you the best you can be, and whatever it's going to take to do that. And I'm really excited about the whole concept, and there's got to be consistency to it, and that's what I've seen so far in camp.
And ownership on the players' part.
Yes.
I mean, the players.
That's his favorite buzzword, Andy. We've heard him say that in his press conferences every day almost.
And I think that when you talk to the players and when you see them in the clubhouse, they have bought into that. They have bought in that this is our team. He's the leader, but this is our team. It's for us to carry it forward.
And when you have different voices and in all the new coaches and things and talking to some of the other guys that are here, you know, with Loretta and the way they're communicating, you know, and Tarek and hitting and what they're doing and how good of a job they are doing. And it's a different voice. It's a different sound than we've had in many, many years. And I like the little edge that I'm seeing. I want that.
Right.
You know, and I think the players are kind of embracing that as well. They get it, and it's going to be there all year long, and that's what you want.
What's your favorite thing, either one of you, that he's done? Is it the music, the curtailing of the basketball, that kind of stuff?
I really like the way that he ignores you. I think he does a great job of ignoring you, Mike.
Oh, he doesn't? Oh. No, he loves me.
That's just lucky guess.
He remembered my name after one meeting.
He is good. He's good at names.
He's good at names.
He is. He is.
What I like, I just like that there's a presence now that I like, and I see it with a lot of players, and I think, again, the thing is ownership, that they see what he's trying to do as a leader, and they are carrying it forward. And, okay, baseball does come down to talent. 162 games is a long season, but I really like where he's got this club right now in terms of what it's thinking about, how hard it's working, and seeing an end product.
And I'm seeing a lot more communication. Hey, you're the players. And
absolutely.
And the other day he said some great words. Hey, this game is really hard. You know, he gets it. And it is hard. And the players, they can relate to that. And I like that relationship. And when he talked to these guys and having guys come up and talk to the team, you know, these team leaders, you know, it's team first. I don't know when that T-shirt's going to come out, but, you know, there's going to be a blue San Diego Padre T-shirt that says team first on it. If they don't do it, I'll do it myself. And
I was
give them
about
to
say, that's a little money-making opportunity on the side.
There we go. And Randy's all
work,
about
I'm always working on it, man.
Randy. Let's talk about the field itself. A lot of this is intangibles so far, but, you know, it's no sugarcoating it. It was a leaky ship last year. The offense, the defense, the pitching, all kind of below average statistically when you look across the board. What do you guys think is the most important hole to plug on that ship of the three main facets of the game?
I'd say defense.
I would say deep. Well, you know what I'm going to say first.
Right.
I'm going to say pitching.
Right.
You know, somebody figure out how to get a guy out three times in a game. You know, that's one of my concerns last year. The consistency of the pitching is going to carry this ball club. Now, of course, no expectations this year somewhat. Nothing wrong with flying underneath the radar. But the one thing I do know that this team will be prepared, you know, come April 4th. They're going to be ready to play. And I've just seen some of the drills that we're doing. It's the same old drills that we've done. You might be covering first. You're doing bunt plays. But Andy Green comes out with his fungo and puts a situational drill out there and is running through these things so fast. The first time he did it, oh, they kept messing up play after play.
Because he wants.
That's what he wants.
By design.
Right. That's right. And all of a sudden, we did it the second time, much, much better. And you're going to see it four or five more times before they leave camp. So a lot of these things are going to be automatic. There's going to be a crispness to it, a sharpness to it, you know, from day one. And it'll continue to do so because if they start messing these things up, it's going to be a little bit old school. They're going to be out there a little bit early working on these plays again. And nobody wants to do that, so let's get it right the first time. I love that.
See, I think the pitching will – the elements are there for the pitching to be okay. I think that if the defense improves, if situational hitting, situational play improves, I think that's also going to pick up the pitching. I really like the fact that he is already concentrating on situational hitting. And a couple days ago, we saw Shields hit the home run in that situational game.
That's what got all the publicity.
Right, yeah. And immediately the day after, Andy says, okay, you guys have focused on the home run that he hit. I focused on the four bunts that he didn't get down. And I think that he's very open that way. He's direct. And he lets the players know, okay, yeah, you did this, but you didn't do that. And I think that in the long run, we're already seeing, like he says, you only improve by making mistakes and then realizing
that's
what
right.
mistake you made and eliminating it. That's what we're seeing.
That's the only way you get better play in this game is you got to fail, learn from your mistakes, and get better.
Right.
And just a little awakening for him. And, you know, like you talk about the pitching, there are some question marks. I love the competition that we have for the spots that are available. And watching the bullpens and a little bit more intensity that I'm seeing in some of the pitchers out there. So I think a couple of guys are already game ready. They're ready to go right now, which is good. That's what I want to see. And I think there's some decisions. And, you know, like, you know, Brandon Morrow is a real question mark. I mean, I love Brandon Morrow. He's got to stay healthy.
Right.
And if he could, I think he could really help this ball club in that fourth or fifth spot, whatever it might be.
But if he does stay healthy, Brandon Morrow is one of the best pitchers. When he's healthy, he's one of the best pitchers.
Beginning of last year,
he was maybe the ace
of the staff. The
exactly.
Way
first month of the season, Padres were 5-0 when Brandon Morrow pitched. And we're talking Morrow because there's also Brandon Maurer who now goes from the bullpen to the rotation. But I think that the elements are here. And from watching the throwing out here in the bullpen sessions, they've got a lot of pitching athletes.
It's not throwing, it's pitching.
Right.
Well, Bill and I
outfielders throw.
Right.
Outfielders throw.
Pitchers pitch.
Thank you very much.
But they got a lot of live arms. We have a lot of live arms in this game.
We have a knack for that, but it's all about pitching.
Right.
It's about placement. And I'll tell you what, and that's the one thing Darren Ball said, I love it. You know, whether it be glove side or, you know, arm side, and you know, he's all over it, hitting your spots and being consistent. And he's harping on that big time with these guys, and I love it. And I'm right with him. I'm going, hey, I'm with you.
I do think that there are going to be a couple surprises in the bullpen when this whole thing shakes out. Guys that you don't necessarily – have right now in your bullpen, your seven-man bullpen, I think there could be a couple surprises there.
That's what spring is for. Let me split you guys down the middle here. Randy, let's take pitchers first. Name me one guy you're most excited to see how he develops the rest of the spring.
Well, I think it's Brandon Morrow. I mentioned him before. He's got to stay healthy. If he stays healthy, I mean, I think he's the sleeper in this. I love the idea of already announcing our opening day pitcher. Put some expectations on your ace. And that's exactly what he did to Tyson Ross. And, you know, I kind of related to him as well. Tyson, I remember doing this in 76 where, hey, I had a pretty good idea from the first day of camp I was going to be opening day pitcher. And how I prepared for that and how it was always in the back of my mind. And I never forgot about that. That whole spring kind of motivated me. And it's doing the same thing for Tyson. And also maybe put James Shields in a little bit of edge. We're all competitors. He wanted to be opening day pitcher. Well, get over it. You're not. And I like that. And Andrew Kashner as well. He's got to bounce back. And I like his work ethic and what he's working on, not only physically and on the mound, but even mental, his mental approach and how he's going to handle things this year.
I say pick one guy. Randy gives me four.
Right. I got Kashner. I think Kashner is going to have a really strong bounce back season.
How about on offense, real quick, one guy for each of you that you're excited to see?
On the offensive side?
Yeah.
Well, what I see right now, Solarte at third base, given him, you know, that position right now, and what I've seen from him and his work ethic, and he came in ready to play. With Ramirez on, also on the left side, if I'm on the mound, I'm feeling pretty good about what I see behind me over there.
I got Myers at first base. I think that if he stays healthy, I think first base, last year, I don't think he was totally ever comfortable in center field. I think he's going to be comfortable at first base, and when you're comfortable as a hitter in the field, you're a lot better at the plate.
Right, Mike, and I want to add, you know, Myers has really embraced first base, working really hard.
Right.
You know, and it's exciting to see. I mean, when you see young kids like this, you know, in that position, how hard they're working and want to be the best they can be, and he knows he's got some things to learn over there. And he's responded. He's embracing it, and I really enjoy that.
Yeah, we have him on this week, and he's saying that exact same stuff. Quickly, guys, we're going to wrap up with two last things I wanted to get to here while I have you both. Number one, Randy, Bill, and I were talking about this, how all the coaches that are here, you mentioned a couple of them by name, it's almost like a fantasy all-star team of Padres coaches and advisors here. And so me being the nerd I am, I decided to make an actual lineup and an actual rotation and put this into a simulator online and see how the Padres fantasy coaching staff would do against some of the greatest teams of all time.
Mm.
So here's your lineup, and you have it on the screen right now. What you see is all these guys' names, and the years to the right of them are their peak year of their career that we picked.
So you're going with the peak year for
every
player.
So, for example, Mark McGwire batting third, it's 1998 Mark
McGwire.
Good call. So we have, here's the lineup quickly. Damian Easley, second base. Mark Loretta at short. McGwire at first. Moises Alou in left field. Steve Finley in center. Xavier Nady, who's down here with the minor leaguers in right. Rod Barajas catching. Glenn Hoffman at third base. And the rotation, Randy, we got you at as the ace, of course.
Wouldn't
have done it any other way. Mark Pryor, Hideo Nomo, Andy Ashby, Glendon Rush. And then in the bullpen, a couple guys like Doug Bachler, Takashi Saito, and someone you may have heard of,
Trevor Hoffman. Like we better go nine in this game.
Right. Well, they're going to – I think I know who they're going to pitch you against.
I put this fantasy team against three different teams. Number one was the Royals from last year, the World Series defending champs, who the Padres are playing tonight. Then the 1927 Yankees and the 1998 Yankees. Randy, how do you think your Padres did in those three series?
They should have done pretty well, in my opinion. Overall. The Kansas City game, I get a little worried. I'm not sure about my offense catching up with some of those fastballs. A little worried about that.
I have the results.
Did Ruth homer off of Randy?
We'll get to that in a second. Against the Royals, the Dream Padres won in five. Outscored him 31-18.
Wow.
No contest. Jeez. Against the 1927 Yankees, Randy Jones went 2-0 with 15 innings pitched, only 4 earned runs allowed against Murderers Row Yankees.
Did
four
Ruth
strikeouts,
homer off of
but
him?
No
strikeouts,
no
right?
Run, 4 strikeouts.
4?
And 15 innings.
I don't have no idea, man. I don't know. That's out of control.
It was the 98 Yankees Garrett? Who gave these guys up. The toughest go. It was in 6 games, but the Padres still won. Oh. 3 of those games and 2 runs or fewer. But that's a juggernaut you guys got.
Well,
here.
You know what, and Mike, it's great to walk in, you know, and I had no idea when I got here that when I'm putting my uniform on and I've got everybody there. I got Trevor Hoffman, I got Steve Finley, I got Andy Ashby, I got Mark Loretta. I mean, former Padre guys here just to help out, you know, and assist is what we're trying to do. And a lot of times it's talking about the game. To a lot of these players. We're not out here actually hands-on. That's Darren Bosley's job as a pitching coach. But from the mental side of the game, I think it's invaluable, you know, we've been around for quite a few years, and help them out that way a little bit can make a big, big difference.
All right, and the second thing, we're going to give the results of this later in the show, but Randy, while you're here, we have our producer Blooper. Seth's got a new look this year.
Yes.
He was bearded for the last 5 years, and we had a Twitter poll running this week on whether we like him better with the beard or without. We're going to reveal what the internet thinks later, but Randy, what's your take?
No, I like the look. I mean, he's got a chance. Right now, he could probably get a date.
Whereas the last 5 years, he couldn't?
No, not a chance.
Looks a little chipmunk.
Hey, Mike, he's got new shoes on, too. He found those East Coast shoes. He laid him to rest, apparently. I like it. I like the look.
Bill, we'll get your full review later when we reveal the internet vote, but we have one vote for no beard from Randy. Guys, this is awesome. I look forward to it all season. And Randy, keep looking sharp in that.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. Welcome. It's good to have you here.
You still got some – I mean, you got a little left, right, in the tank? You could.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I haven't lost a mile an hour, Bill.
Well, you never had a mile an
hour. That's what I mean.
We're back after this on Padres Social Hour.
The Padres are getting ready for the 2016 season, and we're getting you ready for it. Broadcasting from the Peoria Sports Complex in Arizona, this is Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to Padres Social Hour. We're here with the all-of-a-sudden top prospect in the Padres organization. It's Manuel Margot, but he likes Manny, right? Whatever we want to say. Yeah. That's either one. And we're also joined by Nikki, who a lot of you fans already know. Nikki Patriarca here to help us with some translation. So, Manny, first question. This is your first spring training not as a member of the Red Sox. You're here with the Padres. Is it weird? How does it feel so far?
Es tu primer entrenamiento con otro equipo. Estuviste con los Medias Rojas. ¿Cómo te sientes?
No, todo bien, gracias a Dios. Primeramente dando la gracia a Dios y luego a ellos por darme la oportunidad de participar con ellos y empeñar su confianza en mí.
All very good. First of all, he gives thanks to God and he's very appreciative of his team for believing in him.
Who have you been learning from or working with? Andy Green said John Jay has been a big help for you so far. Who else have you been trying to learn from since you've been here?
¿Con quién estás aprendiendo al lado de tus compañeros? Andy Green dijo que John Jay, estás junto con él, pero ¿quién más?
Sí, o sea, me he especificado mucho en John Jay porque él, o sea, me entiendo mejor con él, hablo el mismo idioma que yo. Pero también tengo una buena relación con Matt Cain, hablo con Otto en el outfield, y son cosas que ellos me ayudan ahí en esa parte.
He's been working a lot with John Jay just because he is bilingual and he can communicate with him very well. But Matt Kemp and the other outfielders, that's who he's been, you know, working with and learning from.
What can fans expect from you? Obviously, they read all the reports and what the different scouts say, but what kind of player are you? What kind of person are you? What can the fans expect to see from their newest prospect?
¿Qué tipo de jugador eres tú? ¿Qué tipo de persona? ¿Qué pueden aprender los fanáticos de ti?
Bueno, los fanáticos de mí se pueden llevar una muy buena impresión, una buena personalidad. O sea, cada vez que me llaman, si tengo tiempo, le firmo cosas en así y me catalogo como un pelotero de cinco herramientas.
Basically, hopefully a good impression that he always has a great attitude whenever fans want for him to, you know, sign or to talk to. He's always there and available to talk to them and to, you know, communicate and get to know the fan base better.
You come in as a very highly touted prospect, someone that a lot of fans can be excited about. Where do you see yourself fitting in with the organization this spring training? Do you think about making the big league roster or still a couple years away? Where do you see yourself in your career?
Como eres prospecto bien alto en la organización, ¿qué son tus metas de este entrenamiento primavera contra un nuevo equipo?
Bueno, definitivamente yo, o sea, todos los días vengo al play a enfocarme y trabajar con un propósito. O sea, uno nunca sabe, uno está aquí hoy, pero uno sabe el mañana, uno sabe si mañana uno puede estar con el equipo en Grandes Ligas y eso es lo que yo quiero. O sea, por eso me empeño cada día más en trabajar más fuerte.
Basically, just to focus on the job at hand and to play with promise. No one knows, you know, what's going to happen today or tomorrow if today's their, you know, the last day to be able to do their job. And he wants to play on the major league roster. That's his ultimate goal, and that's where he wants to be.
What do you think you still have to work on? What's keeping you from making a major league roster? What are you working on the most here in spring training?
¿En qué estás trabajando más ahorita en este tiempo en entrenamientos primaverales?
Bueno, me estoy enfocando mucho en la cosa pequeña, como controlar lo que yo puedo hacer, no tratar de hacer de más, y cada día aprender algo nuevo.
Basically the small things, that's what he's working on, to control what he can control, and nothing more, and all the, you know, the small things basically that he needs to work on and to improve.
Manny, you grew up in the Dominican Republic, San Cristobal, right? Got a pronunciation lesson from him a little bit earlier. Did you have any favorite players growing up or any idols, whether from the island or from anywhere else?
Eres el dominicano, dominicana. ¿Quién fueron los jugadores cuando tú estabas creciendo que tú, o sea, que tú te gustó mucho?
Manny Ramirez.
There you go.
Manny Ramirez. No translation needed. That swing is good in any language, yeah. So, I mean, what are you looking forward to now the rest of spring training? You've obviously working on a lot of different things, meeting a lot of new people. What's your biggest goal to take away the next month that you're here?
¿Cuál es tu meta más grande en este mes que viene en estos entrenamientos aquí en Peoria?
Bueno, de verdad estoy sumamente enfocado en el proceso y de hacer un buen trabajo. Sabes que, o sea, si tú no haces un buen trabajo, tú no te mereces subir al siguiente nivel. Pero estoy enfocado en hacer buen trabajo para así escalar el próximo nivel.
He's very focused on the process. That's what, you know, he's working on this last month of spring training. And it's also to do a good job. If you're doing a good job, then you will make it to the next level, and that's what he's very focused on.
Whether you make it in San Diego or one of the minor league teams, you have to be happy that they're all going to be warmer weather than the Red Sox or their minor leagues. Is that right?
Donde si estás en San Diego o una de las otras locaciones en ligas menores, tiene que ser la clima tiene que ser más mejor de todos los que están las medias rojas, ¿sí cierto?
Sí, claro que sí.
Very much yes.
Right. Manny, thank you very much for taking the time. Nikki, thank you for helping us out and good luck the rest of spring training.
Thanks.
Buena suerte.
Gracias.
Manny Margot telling me a little earlier in the week his favorite player growing up, Manny Ramirez. I think if the Padres get even a little bit of that kind of production out of Margot,
right,
that could be good.
You know what? I saw some films of Margot last year, and what a dynamic center fielder and an aggressive hitter. And I like guys that swing the bat, and I really think Manny Margot has a future. In fact, I like all four players that the Padres received in a trade for Kimbrel.
And Margot, aggressive, but doesn't strike out that much.
No,
so
no.
Doesn't walk that much either, but that can come. It's good to be aggressive without the Ks.
Right.
You can always teach walking and the batting eye. One of the men working with Manny Margot and all the other hitters here in camp, Alan Zinter. That's what we have coming up next, the new hitting coach for the Padres, a guy who took ages, as he'll talk to us about, to get to the major leagues as a player. Now here in his first year as a full-time hitting coach in the big leagues, what have you gotten the sense from on him?
And got huge reviews last year, great reviews last year as the backup hitting coach at Houston. And everybody expected that he would get a job as a hitting coach in the major leagues this year after the way he was at Houston. I'm really glad to see him come here. I really like, and I've watched him around the cages talking to players, and so much of hitting, being a hitting coach, is psychological. I think he's a huge gain.
You like psychology. I caught up with Alan earlier in the week. He talks about being not just a hitting coach, being a life coach for these guys.
Right.
And we're going to hear what he has to say.
Especially when you're in a slump, you need somebody not to say, hey, it's all messed up. You need somebody to say, just get back to what you were doing.
And he seems like the kind of guy to do just that. We'll hear
from
Alan coming up next. But first, for the first time ever, the Padres will host a series of week-long summer baseball camps across San Diego County for boys and girls ages 5 through 12. For more information or to register, visit Padres.com/playball. Alan Zinter on Padres Social Hour coming up next.
Baseball is almost back, but Padres Social Hour returns right now, coming to you from the Peoria Sports Complex and Padres Spring Training.
Welcome back to Padres Social Hour. I'm joined now by the new Padres hitting coach, Alan Zinter. How's it good? How's it going with you? That's the bigger question.
Oh, it's going great.
Yeah?
I'm having a blast.
Good spring so far?
So far, so good. We got a lot of guys working hard, a lot of new stuff going on, and the enthusiasm, the atmosphere is wonderful.
You've really kind of risen up pretty quickly in the major league ranks. This is your first full-time major league hitting coach job. I mean, are you settled in yet? Is it real? Are you still pinching yourself?
I'm still pinching myself. I wake up with a smile every day. But you know what? I think I would like to think that I deserve it because I spent so much time in the minor leagues as a player. I didn't want my coaching career to take that long either. So I've been very fortunate and very lucky to be able to move up pretty quickly, and I continue to want to just learn and get better. So it's been fun.
Do you share that experience at all with some of the younger guys, how you did kind of toil and work and grind for so long as a player?
It's become, you know, the journey is, you know, I would not want to change anything that's ever happened to me because it's just got me to where I'm at right now. It's prepared me to be able to handle all kinds of hitters. I got a lot of empathy for all kinds of hitters at different stages in their career. I share as much as I can. I try to talk to them like I was talking to myself. You know, the information that I would need. I'm not a big guy that just rhetoric, just telling guys what to do. I want to explain why. I give them the why first, and then I try to help them out with what I got. And if I don't know it, then I'll go learn it, and I'll find a way to get it to them.
hitting is two parts. It's the mental, philosophical part, and then it's the technique. Are you more one side or the other? Is it a balance? What kind of hitting coach are you?
I'm everything. I'm a life coach, so it depends on where the guy is. I mean, obviously, we got to learn a really good mechanical swing. We need to know the fundamentals of the swing. I like to teach guys that do it very well. I like to teach them that, you know, how to make sure that they understand their swing. Because a lot of guys just feel it, then they lose it, they don't understand. So they spend too much time trying to work on that. So I'm big on teaching the mechanics and teaching the guy how he swings and so he understands that. But then I'm also very big on learning how to compete in the box and the mindset and the plans of attack that you need up there and keeping things simple, the thoughts that go through and controlling the mind and learning how to command and control an AB all the way through, not just when they get in a hitter's count.
Yeah, I saw you working with Matt Kemp a couple days ago, and you were doing some specific stuff with him. And afterward, I heard him tell somebody else, I love talking to Z about hitting. I might hit 40 this year. So he likes what he's hearing from me.
Well, that's good. That's good to know. I want these guys to know that I care. And they're not going to – they don't care who you are or what you know until they know that you care. So my biggest thing, my first thing that I want to do, I want to look guys in the eye and look into their soul, and I want them to know that I care. And we're here to be a part of something great.
So obviously every hitter will be different with what you try and teach them based on their skill set, where they are in life, like you said. But do you have a kind of overarching lineup philosophy, what type of hitting team you want this to be?
Yeah, I want our team identity to be dangerously disciplined.
I like that.
Dangerously disciplined. So we do damage in the zone, and we take pitches out of the zone. And that will the byproducts will be walks and on-base percentage.
Which is something the team struggled with last year, as I'm sure you know.
Right. So I don't want guys just up there trying to work a walk or take pitches or be not ready to hit. I want guys ready to hit. We're attacking the hot zone, and we're ripping mistakes.
All right, let's talk a couple of specific guys. Give me some scouting reports, what you've seen so far from, let's start with Matt Kemp.
Matt Kemp, well, this guy is a tremendous talent. Unbelievable athletic ability. The compaction of the baseball is like second to none. But he needs to be able to sharpen up his plan of attack and be able to execute that time after time after time and not let that not let anything distract him from that plan of attack. And that's, I think, he's very good. You know, he gets last year he was streaky. First half, he wasn't feeling it. Second half, he got on fire. So when he's on fire, there's nobody better. But I'm trying to get him to understand what he does when he's on fire so he can repeat that.
A guy who maybe will be tasked with protecting him this year, Will Myers. He's healthy. The wrist is fully healthy, he tells us. What are you working on with him?
Will Myers is just getting him to be dangerously disciplined in a smaller zone because he's got a tremendous, beautiful swing, sweet swing that he has. He gets himself in trouble when he starts to chase into the marginal area of the strike zone.
And the no batting gloves, you like that look for him?
I love it. So like a gladiator, you know. It's I don't know how guys do it. I couldn't do it. I've never done it. But it just looks really cool.
Some of the young guys, a lot of people are high on them as well. What have you seen from Jabari Blash?
Jabari Blash, man, what a specimen this guy is.
The Greek god.
The Greek god, and he's just, you know, he's got the perfect combination of the voice, the skin, the height, the muscles, all that stuff. It's just a really nice guy right there. And, yeah, he's got power to all fields. He's eager to get going and show us what he's got. I've kind of not gotten too deep with him because I know he's in a spot where he's competing. So I'm just kind of trying to learn him right now.
Another young guy who's gotten a lot of talk this offseason. We have him on the show this week, Manny Margot. Have you worked with him at all, and what do you think?
Yeah, I like watching Manny. Manny's got those eyes that he's just always learning and listening. He's observing everything. He's anybody's, you know, whoever's talking, he's like really just gives him that look, and then he goes in and does something. He repeats his swing. He's got a gorgeous swing. This guy is going to be a good player.
All right, and hopefully the rest of them follow suit with you this spring.
Believe Alan. It. Yeah, I look forward to it.
Appreciate it. Thank you for stopping by.
Good. I don't know what to do with my hand.
You did good. You all kept them down and the mic up. That's all we ask for here.
Thank you.
Back after this on Padre Social Hour.
The season is just around the corner. But first, the team comes together in spring training. Broadcasting live from Peoria, this is Padre Social Hour.
What was a big subtraction in spring? The beard of blooper. Seth Foster, we talked about it all show long. We put this out to a Twitter poll, as I mentioned earlier, Bill. We asked fans, do you like Seth with beard or without beard? Here's the picture of him side by side. This is what I tweeted out. He's wearing the same exact shirt. He made it real easy for our fans. And the results, drum roll please, 71% say bring the beard back.
They're wrong.
Bill thinks chipmunk clean-shaven Seth right. is a lot cooler than bearded Seth.
Right.
I can't believe that.
I like the red side. I mean, you put him in there with Theodore and
Let's
Alvin.
Let's get Blooper here. He's really posing here. What I can't believe, Bill, is that 69 people, that's how many votes we got, cared enough about Seth's face.
Plus, there's some young lady out there who's really a chipmunk fan, and she would fall for it.
Alvin, Seth, and Theodore. That's exactly the look that we're going for. All right, Bill, thank you very much for coming on. Enjoy the rest of spring training.
Thanks.
It's been a blast. Looking forward to it the rest of the season. And, folks, thanks to you for watching. Make sure to enjoy our next Padres Social Hour coming your way March 11th as the Padres take on the Chicago White Sox. See you next time from Peoria.